Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our beautiful Sufi temple here in Cape Town. So the topic for today's talk, what is a Sufi, came about quite organically, as this is a question that I'm often asked in my work here at the Cape Town Centre for Unity, which is also home to our beautiful temple. And as I was preparing this talk, to jump straight into what is a Sufi felt like I was skipping a step, as though we first needed to explore a little bit of what is Sufism. So I turned to the Ghatakas, a collection of spiritual teachings by Hazrat Inayat Khan, the founder of the Sufi movement and our teacher who brought the Sufi message from the East to the West when he traveled as musician from India to America with his brothers and cousin in 1910. I did not have to look very far, as the first Ghataka, the religion of the heart, summed it up perfectly. But before I share this Ghataka with you, I just want to point out that for the most part, the words that I will share here today are a word taken directly from Inayat Khan's teachings, thus in his own words, given as lectures at the time and now preserved in the volumes of the Sufi Message, the series of 13 books that we also have available here in the temple. So looking at what is Sufism, Hazrat Inayat Khan's first Ghataka. If anybody asks you, what is Sufism? What religion is it? You may answer, Sufism is the religion of the heart. The religion in which one thing is most important, and that is to seek God in the heart of humankind. There are three ways of seeking God in the human heart. The first way is to recognize the divine in every person and to be careful of how we respond to every person with whom we come in contact in our thought, speech, and action. Human personality is very delicate. The more living the heart, the more sensitive it is. But that which causes sensitiveness is the love element in the heart, and love is God. Someone who takes notice of the feeling of another person with whom they come in contact practices the first essential moral of Sufism. The next way of practicing this religion of the heart is to think of the feelings of the person who is not at the moment before us. One feels for a person who is present, but often neglects to feel for someone who is out of sight. And the third way of realizing the Sufi principle is to recognize in your feeling the feeling of God. To recognize that every impulse that rises in your heart as a direction of God, and to blow that spark until the flame may rise to illuminate the path of your life. The symbol of the Sufi movement, which is a heart with wings, is symbolical of the ideal, of its ideal. The heart is both earthly and heavenly. The heart is a receptacle, a container on earth of the divine spirit. And when it holds the divine spirit, it soars heavenwards, and the wings picture its rising. The crescent moon inside the heart symbolizes responsiveness. It is the heart that responds to the Spirit of God that rises. The crescent moon is a symbol of responsiveness because it grows fuller by responding more and more to the sun as it progresses. The star in the heart of the crescent moon represents the divine spark, which is reflected in the human heart as love, and which helps the crescent grow towards its fullness. I will now pause here in this Ghataka, and now let's look at the word Sufi. It is derived from the Arabic word Safa or Saf, which means pure, as in free from distinctions and differences. Then in Greek, the word Sophia means wisdom. Join the two together and you get Sufi, a word that denotes pure wisdom, both the source and the essence of truth. As you may know, many people associate Sufism only with the culture and religion of Islam. But as Inayat Khan says in his Sufi message, Sufism has never, in any period of history, been a religion or a certain creed. It has always been considered as the essence of every religion and all religions. He also said, the Sufis were called Sufis by others. They did not give themselves any name. Now, through the teachings of Hazrat Inayat Khan, as given to us in the Sufi message, let us explore what is a Sufi. No better explanation of Sufism can be given than by saying that any person who has knowledge of both outer and inner life is a Sufi. Thus, there has never in any period of the world's history been a founder of Sufism, yet Sufism has existed at all times. The Sufi shows universal kinship in one's adaptability. Among Christians, one is a Christian. Among Jews, one is a Jew. Among Muslims, a Muslim. Among Hindus, a Hindu. For a Sufi is with all, and thus all are with the Sufi. Sufism is a religion, is a philosophy among the religions, and it is a religion among the philosophies. Among the religions, it is a philosophy by reason of the Sufi's freedom of thought. Among the philosophies, it is a religion because of the Sufi's idealization of God, their devotion and worship. The word Sufi is derived from Safa, meaning pure, purified of ignorance, superstition, dogmatism, egotism, and fanaticism, as well as free from limitations of caste, creed, race, and nation. The Sufis believe in God as the absolute, the only being, and that all creation is the manifestation of God's nature. They were free from name, from label, from distinction of personality, and for this the world called them Sufi, from Saf, which in Arabic means pure. Every seeker after the ultimate truth is really a Sufi, whether they call themselves that or not. In very ancient times, the Safa was founded, the Brotherhood of Purity. Its doctrine was, know thyself and thou wilt know God. These students of the self were Sufis, for Sufism is the study of the self. For a Sufi, the self within, the self without, the kingdom of earth, the kingdom of heaven, the whole being is his or her teacher, and their every moment is engaged in acquiring knowledge. By separating the outer garments of the soul, the Sufi discovers the real nature and character of the soul, and in this discovery lies the secret of the whole life. Sufis, especially those of the Chistia school of ancient times, have taken music as a source of their meditation. And by meditating thus, they derive much more benefit from it than those who meditate without the help of music. The effect that they experience is the unfoldment of the soul, the opening of the intuitive faculties, and their heart, so to speak, opens to all the beauty which is within and without, uplifting them and at the same time bringing them that perfection for which every soul yearns. Music has always been the favorite Sufi means of spiritual development. It creates harmony in both worlds and brings eternal peace. Even today, musical entertainments for the elevation of the soul, called sama, are held among the Sufis. Music is called Giza Iru, the food of the soul, by Sufis, music being the most divine art which elevates the soul to the highest spirit. The Sufis' interest in life is art and beauty, and their task is the service of humanity in whatever form possible. To a mystic, the subject of breath is the deepest of all the subject with which mysticism or philosophy is concerned, because breath is the most important thing in life. The very life of any human is breath. For this, the Sufi gives a lesson to always be conscious of the breath. Breath, to a Sufi, is a bridge between themselves and God. It is a rope for them hanging down to earth, attached to the heavens. The Sufi climbs up by the help of this rope. The Sufi is free from beliefs and disbeliefs, and yet gives every liberty to people to have their own opinion. The attitude of the Sufi to all the different religions is one of respect. The Sufi's religion is the service of humanity, and their only attainment is the realization of truth. A Sufi considers all prophets and sages not as many individuals, but as the one embodiment of God's pure consciousness, or the manifestation of divine wisdom appearing on earth. For the awakening of humankind from its sleep of ignorance in different names and forms. The Sufi recognizes the teacher in all beings of the world and is ready to learn from young and old, educated and uneducated, rich and poor, without questioning from whom they learn. At the same time, the Sufi never claims spirituality or goodness, neither does the Sufi judge anyone except themselves. A Sufi does not dispute on spiritual subjects with everyone. For this reason, the spiritual evolution of each person differs from that of the other. The knowledge of one cannot be the knowledge of the other, nor is the understanding of one the understanding of the other. A Sufi would rather learn than teach. A Sufi begins one's life by discipline and resignation, realizing that the path that leads to the goal of freedom is the path of self-control, patience, resignation, and renunciation. The Sufi learns not only by the study of books, but by the study of life. The whole of life is like an open book to a Sufi, and every experience is a step forward in his or her spiritual journey. Life, human nature, the nature around us, are all a revelation to a Sufi. This does not mean that a Sufi has no respect for the sacred scriptures revered by humanity. On the contrary, he or she holds them as sacred as do the followers of those scriptures. But the Sufi says that all scriptures are only different interpretations of that one scripture which is constantly before us, like an open book. The principal mission of Sufism is to dig the soil under which the light of the soul has become buried. It is the same as the teaching of Christ, who said that no one should hide their light under a bushel, and also that one should raise one's light on high. What the Sufi strives for is self-realization, and he or she arrives at the self-realization by means of their divine ideal, their God. By this they touch that truth which is the ultimate goal and the yearning of every soul. It is not only realization, it is a happiness which words can't explain. It is that peace which is yearned for by every soul. The method of the Sufis have always been that of self-effacement. But the effacement of which self? Not of the real self, but of the false self. Thus the Sufi method works towards the unfoldment of the soul, that self which is eternal, to which all power and beauty belong. And here I want to interrupt our teacher's words for a moment and confess that I had to do some online research for the meaning of the word self-effacement, a rather outdated term, and this is what I learned. Self-effacement means the conscious setting aside of one's ego, self-importance, or personal pride. It is the act of not putting oneself at the center, but instead allowing something greater, truth, service, love, or the needs of others to take precedence. And now we return to the Sufi teachings. The central theme of the Sufi's life is the freedom of the soul. As the great Persian Sufi poet Rumi says, the soul on earth is in a prison, and it remains there as long as it lives on earth. Humans may or may not realize it, but there is a deep yearning in every soul to rise above this imprisonment, to escape from this captivity, and the answer to this yearning is spiritual attainment. Rumi says, whether you have loved a human being or whether you have loved God, if you have really loved, you are brought in the end before the throne of love. The Sufi sees the beauty, greatness, and perfection of a human being in one's ideal. Therefore, the Sufi does not mind if that ideal is called by one person Buddha, by another person Krishna, or by yet another Muhammad. Names make little difference to the Sufi. The Sufi's ideal does not belong to history or tradition. The Sufi's ideal belongs to the sacred sentiment of his or her heart. The highest heaven of the Sufi is his or her own heart, and that which humans generally know as love, to a Sufi, is God. The God of the mystic is to be found in one's own heart. The truth of the mystic is beyond words. Sufism is a religion if one wants to learn religion from it. It is a philosophy if one wants to learn wisdom from it. It is mysticism if one wishes to be guided by it in the unfoldment of the soul. And yet, it is beyond all these things. It is the light, it is the life which is the sustenance of every soul and which raises a mortal being to immortality. It is the message of love, harmony, and beauty. It is the divine message. It is the message of the time, and the message of the time is an answer to the call of every soul. And now, as this talk is coming to an end, before we return to the first Gatika, I would like to share with you the 10 Sufi thoughts as given to us by Hazrat Inayat Khan. But before I do so, as my dear teacher Mahta also mentioned in the first Universal Worship Talk of the year, here on the 11th of January, I would like to point out that the words I'm about to read were written in the Victorian era, more than a century ago, hence the gendering of God as he and references to brotherhood, mankind, and so on. And as out of step as these words written in the language of its time may seem in our contemporary world, it feels important to point out that these terms were never intended to exclude anyone or any group of people. So apart from us knowing that God is far beyond any notion of gender, as Mahta also noted in her talk, the Sufi movement, which was founded by Inayat Khan in 1923, was in fact incredibly progressive for its time, with our teacher's first followers and initiates being women, and women over the past century having played and continuing to play a prominent role in the Sufi movement in every aspect. And now the 10 Sufi thoughts. There is one God, the eternal, the only being. None exists save he. There is one master, the guiding soul of all souls, who constantly leads followers towards the light. There is one holy book, the sacred manuscript of nature, the only scripture which can enlighten the reader. There is one religion, the unswerving progress in the right direction towards the ideal which fulfills the life's purpose of every soul. There is one law, the law of reciprocity, which can be observed by a selfless conscience together with a sense of awakened justice. There is one brotherhood, the human brotherhood, which unites the children of earth indiscriminately in the fatherhood of God. There is one moral, the love which springs forth from self-denial and blooms in deeds of beneficence. There is one object of praise, the beauty which uplifts the heart of the worshipper through all aspects, from the seen to the unseen. There is one truth, the true knowledge of our being, within and without, which is the essence of all wisdom. There is one path, the annihilation of the false ego in the real, which raises the mortal to immortality, in which resides all perfection. And now, in closing, the ending of the first Ghatika in the words of Inayat Khan. The Sufi message is the message of the day. It does not bring theories or doctrines to add to those existing already, which can puzzle the human mind. What the world needs today is the message of love, harmony, and beauty, the absence of which is the only tragedy of life. The Sufi message does not give a new law. It awakens in humanity the spirit of brother and sisterhood, with tolerance on the part of each for the religion of the other, with forgiveness from each other for the fault of the other. It teaches thoughtfulness and consideration so as to create and maintain harmony in life. It teaches service and usefulness, which alone can make life in the world fruitful, in which lies the satisfaction of every soul.